20619, the applicant is Brian. Oh, I better read the minutes. You're right, thank you. I forgot to read approve the minutes at the last meeting first. I'm sorry, I'm jumping ahead. Do I hear a motion to approve the minutes of the last meeting?
So moved.
So moved. Is there a second?
Second.
Second, thank you. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? There are none. The meeting minutes are approved. Thank you, Peggy. I was rushing ahead. All right. So now, the applicant for case number 14-00619 is Brian Yount with Mosby Building Arts on behalf of Lewis and Dale Ackerman, who are the property owners. Request two variances, one to maintain a rear yard setback of 10 feet in lieu of 30 feet, and a front yard setback of 29 feet in lieu of 30 feet as required by the zoning code, for two proposed additions to the existing family dwelling at 8257 Tulane Avenue. Let me read the order of procedure for you. I will read the four standards we have for granting variances. I'll ask anyone with exhibits to have them marked by the court reporter if they haven't been done so already. I'll open a public hearing and swear on anyone who wishes to testify, and perhaps some of you don't intend to testify but might during the course of the meeting. The zoning administrator will show photos of the property. The applicant or a representative will state their position. The zoning administrator will state the city's position. I will then ask board members about site visits and any contact with the applicants or site owners. We'll take public comments. After public comments are finished, I will close the public hearing. We'll have a discussion by the board and a vote. The board and the zoning administrator will collaborate on documenting reasons for approval and disapproval. Note that board members may break in at any time to ask questions. So the standards for granting variances. The Board of Adjustments shall not grant a variance unless it shall, in each case, make specific written findings of fact directly based upon a particular evidence presented to it that support the following conclusions. One, the variance requested arises from a condition which is unique to the property in question and which is not ordinarily found in the same zoning district and is not created by an action or actions of the property owner or applicant. Two, strict application of the provisions of the zoning code from which a variance is requested will constitute an unnecessary hardship upon the property owner representing the application. Three, the variance requested will not adversely affect the adjacent properties of public health, safety, order, convenience, or general welfare of the community. And four, granting the variance desired will not violate the general spirit and intent of the zoning code. I need to note that a 4-to-1 requirement of the board is required, vote approval is required for granting approval. 3-to-2 majority does not do it by state law. We need at least 4 votes in favor. Is there anyone with exhibits who wants to have them marked by the court reporter?
I guess that would be me. Zach has told me that you guys have a slide presentation which just basically recreates what I have here. So whether you want to enter this or not is up to you.
Then, actually, Mr. Chair, one of the exhibits that I've submitted to the court reporter is a full set of what was submitted by the applicant. So okay, it is marked as an exhibit now.
Okay.
Three other exhibits that have been marked by the court reporter, the city zoning ordinance, a copy of documentation of publication in a newspaper for the public hearing notice, and then a copy of the letter that was mailed to property owners within 185 feet as required by the ordinance.
Thank you. Okay. So do you have anything else that's required to cover?
Yes, sir. Additionally, I have a written response to the four stipulations, conditions required to for granting a variance. It's brief, one page, and I have many copies which I could hand out if that would.
Yeah, the court reporter does not really need that, I think. Why don't you hand them out if you want? Yeah.
Okay.
Bring them up here, we'll pass them on. Yeah. And may want to give Mr. Greetings a copy too, please. Convenient had you emailed these to us ahead of time or something, but we'll have some discussion anyway.
Thank you.
Apologize for that. I did not have it ready in time to do that. Thank you. Sure. And somebody said Mr. Green?
Oh, me. He said Mr. Green.
I thought he said Green, sorry.
Okay, fine. Is there anyone, I'll open a public hearing now, is there anyone who wishes to testify? Would you please raise your right hand? You swear to tell the truth? You, sir? Swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth? I need your right hand up, please. Do you? Do you swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
I do.
Thank you. And you, sir?
I do.
Okay.
I do.
Thank you. Mr. Green, would you please show photos of the property in question?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. This first slide, this is a little bit different than the aerial photography or aerial view that was in the packet. It's just a little bit more recent. Here is the subject property, 8257 Tulane in Bernie Park subdivision. I'll just skip right to the a copy of the plat. I'm sorry, this is just a little bit different angle aerial photography looking south. Here's the subject property, and you can see the layout of the single-family residential subdivision and Tulane as it winds through the subdivision with sort of a cul-de-sac here, creating a an additional corner lot in the subdivision. This was included in the information. I thought it was important to just show at the beginning. So this is the Brittany Park subdivision. The subject property, as it was platted in 1951, there is a platted 30-foot building setback and then additional platted setbacks of 10 feet from the side property lines and then a few other property lines that have a 30-foot setback. Now, the standard setback in the zoning code for rear yards is 30 feet and for side yards is 5 feet. And then here, this subject property, lot 16, of Brittany Park subdivision was replatted in 1952. So you can see it changed the setback lines. So instead of 10 feet from the eastern property line, it's now 30 feet from the eastern property line. And then instead of 30 feet from the southern property line, it was changed to 10 feet from the southern property line. And just for some background, in terms of the zoning code requirements, just to clarify, corner lots per the zoning ordinance are considered to have two front yards and two side yards. So in this case, this is considered a front property line, front lot line, and a side lot line, and a side lot line. The standard setbacks for side yards in the zoning ordinance is 5 feet, but it also specifies that if there are more stringent platted setback lines, that those more stringent setback lines apply. This is a picture of the subject property from Tulane, from across Tulane, looking east. So this is the location of one of the proposed additions, where the request is to reduce the front setback to 29 feet in lieu of 30 feet, and then also to be 15 feet from the eastern property line. And this angle shows, you can see this is looking south from across the little park across the street. This is the location of the other proposed addition on the southeastern part of the house. And I won't get into the plans, I'll let the applicant do that, where the request is to reduce the setback to 10 feet from the eastern property line. And those are the only pictures I have. Were there any more questions about, in terms of clarification of property line setbacks or anything like that?
The only comment I think I would have is that if we didn't have this subdivision platting overlaying everything, and we're just using the city zoning requirements, we probably wouldn't be here. This would have been approved right off the bat.
Correct. I'll go to the survey that was submitted by the applicant. So the standard setbacks in the code for a lot like this would be actually 25 feet from the front property line, and then 5 feet from the side, and 5 feet from the side, from this side. This subdivision, of course, is a little different. And there are some subdivisions in University City that have platted setback lines, and then many that do not, where it's just the standard, uses the standards in the code.
I'd like to ask a question clarifying John's question. The addition that is in on the street side, would that be in conformance with today's code?
Oh, I'll go to, this is a close-up of the plans that were submitted by the applicant. As submitted, this proposed addition would be 29 feet 4 inches from the front northern property lot line. The request was to reduce the setback to 29 feet. Of course, you know, that's pretty common because conditions can change in the field. So this would not be in conformance with the... Wait. Oh, I'm sorry. Would it be in conformance with the 25-foot setback?
The current zoning for other properties.
Yes. This would be in conformance with the front setback of 25 feet for the SR single-family district, yes. It just would not be in conformance with the 30-foot front yard setback. Imposed by the subdivision. Correct. I'm sorry. Imposed by the subdivision plan.
And following Roger's question, then, condition number one on the upper right side there would also be in conformity with the existing code, but it's not in conformity with the planning by the subdivision.
Correct.
Do you have any more to show us?
No.
Okay, thank you. I guess it's Mr. Mosby. Do you want to make a presentation with the applicants then? You're the applicant?
I'm Mr. Yant, but I work with...
Mr. Yant, brother. I'm sorry. Okay.
That's okay.
Yes, please. Make your presentation. And I encourage you to address verbally while you're testifying, meeting the four requirements of the zoning code.
Okay. Which one's the laser? I assume this is on?
Yes. Oh, no.
Thank you. First of all, I want to thank you all for your time. I know we all have busy lives and things to do, so thank you for your time and the opportunity to present this to you. I hesitate to read this, but I spent a lot of time thinking about it, and I just want to go through this. I know you have it before you, so forgive me. I don't want to bore you, but I also want to be accurate as to the thoughts that I've already articulated in my head as I wrote this up. So the type that you see before you in the bold is copy-pasted out of the various documents that Zach has forwarded to me in preparation for this meeting. And so I've tried to go through here and point by point respond to the four stipulations that are required to be met for a variance to be granted. So I won't read the text of those stipulations, but I'll just point to which one I'm going to deal with and then read my response. So regarding point one, I said, as we describe, and let's say, did you say the actual application is part of this or not?
No, I have, it's the drawings. The board was...
That's fine.
Did receive a copy of the application.
That's fine. Thank you. As we describe in our application, answer to section 2B, quote, the lot in question is one of the shallowest, if not the shallowest lot, in the stretch of two lane between Groby Road and Swarthmore Lane. This condition is unique to this section of two lane. In addition, there is evidence in recorded plats, which you've seen, submitted to Zachary, and some past confusion as to where the north and east setbacks should be. This is exemplified by the fact that the existing rear yard east setback, as you can see in the drawing up on the screen there, right here, runs through the existing house as shown on the submitted new site plan. This confusion, I'm speculating here, but this confusion may have originated from a misunderstanding of the application of the relevant corner lot setback ordinances. And then regarding number two, and it is alluded to in the previous answer, while setback guidelines are generally uniform by ordinance, this lot is much shallower than others, resulting in an allowable building envelope, which is much smaller than other lots in the vicinity. And number three, which is regarding adversely affecting adjacent properties, public health, safety, order, convenience, or general welfare of the community, I state the variance requested on the north property setback is minimal, a change of only 1 foot to the platted setback, and as Zach pointed out, is actually less than the zoning code setback, more, and is not significant enough to have any adverse effect. The variance requested for the east setback, while significant, is behind the house, partially behind existing fencing, making it virtually undetectable from the front. In addition, as Zach has pointed out, it's also would be consistent with the actual zoning code. And in my view, this change would not have any adverse effect on those public health, safety, order, convenience, or general welfare of the community. And on the last point, regarding the intent or spirit of the zoning code, I quote section 34-30.2 regarding intent and purpose. It says the purpose of the SR district is to protect and conserve areas of predominantly single-family detached dwellings while at the same time allowing for the construction of new dwelling units if in substantial conformance with the character of surrounding single-family dwellings. The spirit and intent of the zoning code, in my view, seems to be to equitably define lot use in order to prevent these adverse effects that we talked about a moment ago. It is our belief that these proposed additions and related setback variances benefit all of these goals and do not diminish them.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
Any questions from the board?
If the addition 2 was slid down in this drawing, how far would it have to move to come within the 25-foot setback?
That's a great question. I don't have that exact dimension. The issue that we're dealing with is, you see this existing opening? This is a window right now. We are looking at making that a door. Just in terms of maximizing usable wall space in this room, it was our hope to not slide this door. Well, if you slide the addition down, you end up putting the door closer to the middle of that wall, which makes that less usable space. So that was our logic behind locating it the way we did. But if I had to guess, I'd say maybe a foot, maybe 2 feet tops, to answer your question.
Following up on his question, suppose you slid it down about another 10 feet or so, you could then use the existing window space in the lower bedroom as the door going in to that study room or whatever you call it.
Yes, well, that is technically very accurate. I think in terms of the way the homeowner uses the home currently, that would not function as well with the way they operate their home. Additionally, the front of the home being brick and this being set back, I think if we pull it forward, then we start to change the architecture of the front of the house in a way that we really don't want to mess with, if that makes any sense.
To follow up on my question, if you slid it down as I asked before, is that an existing window that you'd be covering up?
The existing window...
In the front bedroom. The next one. About
yes, you
that's
are correct.
An existing window?
Yes, sir.
Thank you.
And it looks to me as if you're going to access these new rooms, you're going to have to go through one of the bedrooms to get there anyway, right?
Correct, which is sort of functions as like an office, extra family room,
Okay, so that's not going to be a bedroom in the future then?
Not at the current time, no.
Okay. Okay, if you're finished, somebody has any question for them?
So would I be correct in stating that if the new proposed master suite were, say, 31 feet long instead of 33, we wouldn't be here? Is that correct?
That is correct. I think right now the spaces are not huge. I don't know how to zoom this, but... I don't have a dimension on there, I apologize. I think this is probably 12 feet or so.
Just to clarify, and Mr. Young, I'm going to back up in the slides just to point something out. Perhaps it would comply with this setback, but it would still not comply with the existing setback from the eastern property line.
Okay.
Of course, the request for that does include this addition, so it might comply with this setback, but it still would not comply with that.
Sure. Setback.
Okay, are there any other questions for Mr. Yount right now? If not, let's go on to the zoning administrator, Mr. Green, stating the city's position.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. It's staff's opinion that the proposed variance request, based on the evidence submitted, that there is a unique situation in this lot in that it is the smallest corner lot in the subdivision area-wise, and it is the shallowest. And with the platted setback lines on the north, western, and eastern side, it creates a much smaller building envelope and shallower building envelope than creating a unique situation.
Okay, thank you. I asked board members about any site visits you made. I already have Ms. Holly. She emailed me to say that, and the rest of the board, that she had visited the site but had no contact with the applicant or site owners. Charlie?
I didn't have a chance to visit.
You didn't have a chance to visit, okay.
I did visit today. I did not have any contact with the owners.
Roger?
I did not visit.
Okay. And I did visit, and twice actually, and 2 days ago as well as today, and I did not have any contact with the applicant or site owners either. I'll open the hearing up to public comments.
Can I get sworn in?
I need to swear you in as well. Yes, ma'am. Mm-hmm. You raise your right hand. You swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Come on up to the podium, please. The lectern. Come up to the lectern. Yes. We record these, which is why we need to use this too.
Okay, I'm the property owner in lot 15, and I've been there about 20 years, and I've always had water problems since I moved in, where the water backs up into my house. So I've always had to consider if I'd ever eventually have to replace all the pipes, and I can't tell from this, I've never seen the drawing, but is the two, there's, and they're called, it's the sewer pipe. So is there one going down underneath that extends from the street all the way to the back corner there? It says iron pipe. So is that my understanding?
Iron pipe is a, it's for surveying. Iron pipe is a surveyor's mark.
Because that happens to be exactly where my sewer spout is, and I wasn't sure if there was piping that goes all the way out to the street from there. And my consideration is, if there's a pipe that goes out to the sewer, then if I would ever have to, like I just, maybe 2 weeks ago, had to have my sewer lateral totally dug up to go into my house. If this one would ever have to be replaced, I don't know if I could get machinery back there on that side with the smaller amount of...
It's my opinion that this drawing does not show any sewer line there.
Okay, because I can't tell how to read it.
It's saying it's a 3/4 inch iron pipe, which is too small to be a sewer pipe. So it doesn't answer your question, nor does it show that there's a problem for you.
Great, and then the same thing with the easement that's in the back. We've got electric lines that stretch all the way back there. So is this considering, this isn't touching that easement, there's still plenty of room for the electric company to be able to work back there, right? It's all trees back there.
Okay, the electric lines go on the southern side of this plot then, the right-hand side, you go back to your house?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so the union proposed new addition is farther away from those electric lines than the existing building.
Okay, and then also, is there any information on how the runoff water, how the gutters are going to be? Is there going to, that area happens to be kind of a flood area, and I didn't know if there's going to be any extra water coming into that area, or if anyone's considered where the gutters could go somewhere else.
Where did the water come from? Is it?
It's a hill that comes down, and it just happens to be that my lot gets a lot of water. It's from that corner.
So the water's coming from above down onto your lot.
Right.
So this addition would not make any difference to that.
And it wouldn't have where there, whatever water from that roof would then be guttered towards there, towards that corner.
They'll have to answer that one.
Mr. Chair, if I may address that. As far as water concerns, all additions such as this would be required to submit a building permit, and water issues are addressed by our building division in coordination with our Department of Public Works, and there are certain requirements for erosion control that would be addressed if this were to come through our department as a building permit.
And ma'am, I forgot to ask you to give your name and address, please, to the court reporter.
Linda Howard, and it's 8263 Tulane Avenue,
63132. And the applicant, you already have his information from Mr. Young from the application. Is there anybody else who wishes to testify? Yes, sir. Please come on up and give your name and address to the court reporter.
My name is John Fuhrer, F-U-H-R-E-R. I live in Creve Coeur, but it's my daughter's house that I'm here to testify about.
Can you give your full address, please?
11623 Lake Shore, one word, Drive. Creve Coeur, 63141.
Thank you.
Just want to say we want to be a good neighbor, and we're really not going to object to this addition. It just so happens that my daughter's house is the only one that really is going to be affected by the change in the setback line. That room addition is going to be 20 feet closer than it would have been under the present zoning without a variance. But it looks to us like the addition is just slightly in back of her house, so it should not affect her house. As long as this variance isn't permanent, if this house where the variance is being asked for, if that house was ever removed and another house built, that this variance wouldn't apply to the new house. And that's a question I'd like to know.
Go ahead, Zach.
Variances run with the property. So once the variance is approved, it would run with the property. If the variance is approved.
Right. And it wouldn't go to perpetuity? In other words, forever?
Yes. Unless.
Unless something
yes,
were done
to
replat the whole area
correct,
or something like this.
Correct.
Yeah. I will say, in the amount of money these people are going to put into this two additions are such that I can't see them or anybody else tearing this thing down for quite a while. I think your daughter will be long out of the picture by the time that might happen. I wouldn't worry about that point.
And me too.
Yeah, I understand the concern, but they're going to put a lot of money into these two additions, and I can't see them giving up and tearing this down for something else in an interim.
What about, could, if they wanted to put windows on the addition that's facing east, would they be allowed to? Because if they were, and they put windows in that addition, they would look right into my daughter's house bedrooms.
That goes with any building. They can put windows. It's all to the building code. As in fact, I think, I don't really know, but I think we probably want some windows in buildings so people can get light inside of rooms and things. But that's all up to the architect and the homeowners as to what they want to do. That's not really germane to what we're talking about here. We're really just interested in, this is a setback proper, is a variance request proper, and can we approve it or not? The actual architecture at the end is up to the owner and the architect and the city building departments, what they approve.
Okay, thank you.
Would you please turn that? Okay. Is there anybody else who wishes to testify? Okay, well, Mr. Young, would you please turn that speaker system off there?
Sure.
Because we can't have more than three on at one time. Thank you very much. Okay, comments from the boards? From the board, I'll close the public hearing at this point. This board discussion.
I have a question, because I know there were some emails I went back and forth about this. Is this what we're considering? Are two front yards and two side yards, is that correct?
No, it's one front yard to reduce the front yard setback to 29 feet.
From 30.
From 30. And then to reduce the setback from the eastern lot line from 30 feet to 10 feet, which 10 feet would then allow, if it were to be approved, 10 feet would allow construction of this addition and this addition, because the setback would be reduced to 10 feet in lieu of 30.
Okay, the two side yard setback thing. The city code, if the city code were the only thing to be considered at this point, we would have two front yards and two front lines and two side lot lines. And the side lot, you can go within 5 feet. We wouldn't even be here for this meeting tonight. But since the subdivision plat overrides that by the city code, now that's why we're here talking about this intrusion. The subdivision plat incorporated a 30-foot rear yard setback. They interpret that as rear yard, not a side yard.
So we're going to go with their interpretation, even though the city would say that it would be a side yard, not a rear yard, with this type of a lot.
Correct. The city zoning ordinance would consider this to be a side, would consider both the eastern and the southern to be side property lines. The setback for this lot currently is still, it's 30 feet and 10 feet because the code does state that if there are more stringent platted setback lines, those apply. It's just that for a typical lot where there aren't more stringent setbacks, it would be 5 and 5.
I think the question for me, and I apologize for having to ask it three times, if what you're saying is that if it was plotted today without these subdivision pieces, they would both be side yards on the upper portion of the right-hand portion, and this would comply for that particular area. The side yard and the side yard, this addition would comply from the side yard setbacks.
It would comply from the side yard setback, correct.
Now,
it would not comply with the front yard, but yes, it would comply with the side yard.
So from today's standards, if this were plotted without the subdivision, is this overreaching the setback line?
I apologize, I misstated. Under the current setbacks for the SR, single family residential district, it would, because it would be 25 feet and 5 feet. Correct. It's a 25-foot front yard setback in the single-family residential district.
But aren't they asking for a 24 setback because it's sitting over?
No, a 29. As proposed, as shown on what was submitted, it's 29 feet, 4 inches. The request is for reducing it to 29 feet. No, the current, there are some existing encroachments in the current And that's just a dimensional nonconformity.
There's a dimensional nonconformity to the plot, not to the city ordinance as it exists today.
Correct. That's correct. That's correct.
Peggy, any thoughts? Charlie, any thoughts? Anybody else? No? Okay. I will admit to a bit of a conundrum when we started this whole thing. And actually, as chair, I sent emails out about the city code versus, about how we do corner lots, and found out about the two front yards and two side yard setbacks, and then the fact that the city plat was overriding everything. And then it came down to the question of the uniqueness of the property, and I asked the question again. Is it not normally found in the same zoning district to be used at it if we do the plat district? And I guess in terms of, certainly from the platting standpoint, where this other isn't platted, as Mr. Young pointed out, this is part of the shallowest lot in this whole stretch here. So the question, is it unique to the property in question? Well, maybe it is, I guess. I struggled with all this myself. This is the most unusual situation for us. And my initial thought also was that if we're going into a 20 feet into a 30-foot setback from the city zoning code in a rear yard, then I'd be gassed at intruding that far into it. But since the city considers what the plat calls a backyard, the city considers that a side yard, and we can go within 5 feet of the side yard, and I don't really see that I have the objections to it, given the overall city code and how the city would apply to this thing. Any further comments, Andrea?
I just wanted to, you referred to your email in terms of looking at the entire SR, single family residential district, versus this subdivision. And I apologize, I don't have a good diagram showing it, but typical corner lots in University City, outside of this part of University City, there's a lot more winding streets. It was developed a little bit later, at a later time, than some of the subdivisions to the east, for example. A lot of the typical corner lots are on straight, perpendicular streets, and they're shaped in a more elongated, rectangular manner without platted setback lines. In some of those, there might be a more stringent front yard setback, but not necessarily the side and rear and the other one and the other right of way. So in those cases, for this case, it does make it more of a unique lot shape and circumstance than a typical corner lot in University City.
Okay, thank you. That was good. That was clarifying. I guess we can just go proceed and take a vote here and let the people, are you ready to vote? Well, let me see, I usually vote last, but I'm going to vote first this time. I think I'm going to vote to approve this. I think in a sense that what the city wants within its code, these two additions would conform with that. And as Mr. Green just pointed out, most of the time in a corner lots where the things are squared off pretty well, it's pretty clear what is usefully a rear yard versus a side yard, even though it might be called a side yard. And so I think in terms of the spirit of what the zoning code wants, and the fact that the shallowness of the lot is creating a problem for the property owner in terms of putting the additions on, expanding the amount of space within the building, and the fact that it still is going to conform pretty much with the general appearance and feel within the subdivision, I'm inclined to vote in favor of approval for this thing. Roger?
I'm voting yes in approval for it, and part of that is they're asking for a 10-foot setback instead of a 5. So out of respect to the neighbor, they're not pushing up against the side yard as much as they could have asked for. So I'm voting yes.
Deborah?
I'm voting yes as well. I think they have complied with all of the items they needed to comply with, and I think the uniqueness of the lot certainly speaks well to the fact that this is going to be a good addition.
Peggy?
I'll vote yes.
I vote yes also.
Okay.
Very, very well. Your request, variance request is approved by 5-0 vote. Okay, so now we have a second item on the agenda.
Thank you all for your time.
Okay, you're welcome. As a request for 180-day extension of variance case number 13-00862, no public hearing notice or no public notice of a hearing was required. This is the project address is 8256 Plymouth Avenue. A variance request was granted on February 20th to maintain a combined side yard setback of 8 2/10 feet in lieu of 9 feet for the adjoining side yards of the adjoining lot. The immediate west address is 6528 Plymouth Avenue. And the previously approved variance is due to expire on February 20th of 2014. And so Mr. Paul Meyer with Habitat of Humanity, St. Louis, is asking for an extension of this variance request for 180 days. Mr. Meyer, do you swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, nothing but the truth, so help you?
I do.
Thank you very much. Would you please state the reason for the extension request?
Do I just give my name and address? And
oh, yes. I'm sorry, I'm asleep here. Yes, please give your name and address.
My name is Paul Meyer. I'm the real estate development manager for Habitat of Humanity, St. Louis. Our address is 3763 Forest Park Avenue, St. Louis, Missouri, 63108. And I'm sorry, Mr. Chair, what was your question?
Would you please state the reasons for why you need the extension?
Right, so I was here before you all about a year ago. I'm requesting two variances. Actually, one was for 6516 Plymouth, and one was for 6526 Plymouth, so we could build phases 2 and 3 of our university city build. The picture you see before you here is actually 6516, which we did build in phase 2. The variance allowed for a variance in the 9-foot requirement for setbacks between adjacent properties. So you can see the adjacent property next to there is not actually 9 feet wide between the two houses. We asked for both variances at the same time because we weren't exactly sure yet what shape those next two phases were going to take. Phase 2, we did use 6516, and in phase 3, we are contemplating using 6526. We're still in the process of assembling land for phase 3. We definitely know we want to use that parcel of land, and we're trying to get our hands on the there's a 60-foot parcel of land in between these two houses that we built in phase 2 and the two houses that we hope to build in phase 3. And we're planning on acquiring that plot of land so we can build 4 new houses in phase 3, which would make 6 houses in a row on that side of Plymouth. And the end house would be 6526, which was the variance we requested back in last February. So as that comes together, we request an extension of the variance.
Okay, do you think you'll be able to get this project started within 180 days?
We're hoping to.
I'm not sure we can legally give you more than one extension, that's what I'm...
Mr. Chair, the code does allow for multiple. Yes.
Okay, thank you very much. Okay.
Yeah, actually, Zach was kind enough to remind me that the variance was running out, and that was one of my first questions to him, was we would hope to get it started this fall, but it's also a possibility that it might not start until this winter or next spring. So if the 180-day extension does run out,
I would be back.
Right. I believe that's easier than going through the whole variance process again.
Definitely.
Okay.
Any questions from any board members? Yes, that's it, yeah.
Mr. Chair, if it helps for the record, I'll read that section of the ordinance. It states, the Board of Adjustment may grant extensions not exceeding 180 days each upon written application without notice or hearing. So it implies that multiple extensions may be requested.
Let's take a vote, I think. Roger?
Yes.
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 And I'm going to abstain I'm going to have to abstain since I joined the board of Habitat for Humanity in January.
Thank you. Abstention accepted. Your request is approved anyway, 4-0. I hope we don't see you back here again, but we might.
I'll try not to be, but you never know. But thank you very much.
Okay, for board members, Court Reporter, we're finished, okay? For board members, Zach got down here, annual election of officers, nomination and election of a chairperson and a vice chair. I am very happy to continue as chairperson.
I hereby nominate.
Okay.
I second that.
Okay, I guess I'm approved. I'm happy to give you this. Vice chair right now is Deborah. Are you willing to stay on?
I can.
You can?
Somebody else wants to do it.
Anybody else want to do it?
No.
No?
Perfectly.
She's in.
Okay. You're stuck. You're the vice chair again. Okay. Meeting is adjourned.
So, Mr. Chair,
yes.
May I?
Yes.
For the record and for those board members who may not be aware, the city did revise the ordinance pertaining to the composition of the Board of Adjustment. Mr. Chair did point out that the ordinance read that there was professional experience required, such as a structural engineer, for board members. The any kind of professional requirements have been removed from our ordinance. I just wanted to share that with the board.
Yeah, I went to Andrea about this because the code had, for the requirement for the Board of Adjustment had been, it's a real estate salesperson, an architect, and I don't want you to leave because you're not only requiring professional people, you're good, okay? And also required a structural engineer. Why a structural engineer, I don't know, but I was worried that if somebody threatened to sue us of a decision we made because the board didn't have a structural engineer, we'd be in a bad position, even though a structural engineer might not have been required for the case in question. That's why I raised the whole issue with Andrea, and she just opted to have the city council remove the all professional requirements. This is not a state ordinance. It was a U City. When the Board of Adjustment was set up, U City had done this.
So now we no longer professional requirements. But I still think it's very valuable to have an architect and a real estate person, especially the architect. The U City web insights that the rest of us don't have since then. Okay.
So there was, in this whole series of email off the record,